Okay, this week's parasha is Parashas Ki Tisa. Right? Again, always a parasha starts with the message of the parasha. Ki Tisa means when you lift up. So this parasha, all what's written in this parasha is about lifting up. So it starts with Ki Tisa et Rosh Bnei Yisrael, when you lift up the Jewish people, lift gudehem, to put them in their right positions. V'natnu ish kofer nafsho, and a person puts a kapara, a cleansing, an atonement of his soul, la'ashem bifkodotam, when you count them, when you put them in their right positions. V'lo ye benechet bifkodotam, and there shouldn't be a negef. Negef means there shouldn't be like a plague, like something which would damage. So Rashi and Meforshim, everyone explains here, the counting of the Jewish people brings on Ayin Hara. Counting, the Gemara says, you count money, you weight something, anything that you count brings on Ayin Hara. So that needs to be understood. What's wrong in counting? If you count your money, says it's Gemara Bab Metzia, if you count your money, there's no bracha in your money. So Gemara says, Vasimecha, something which is samui mina ayin, something which is closed from the eyes. We're going to learn about the Shvirat Haluchot, the breaking of the first Luchot, the first tablets. Says the Gemara, why were they broken? Because they were given in the Farhes. Since it was given in a public way, and it was shown, Shalat by Ayin Hara was on it Ayin Hara, and that's why it was broken. So the whole parasha is speaking about the lifting up of the Jewish people and to remove the shlita, this concept of Ayin Hara. So it's related. You see it straight away. Luchot, the breaking of the Luchot. Cheta, which is came after Cheta Egel. Right? Is related, the Gemara says, to Ayin Hara. The beginning of the parasha is counting the Jewish people, putting them in their tafkid, putting them in the position. What's the problem? Ayin Hara. So now it says a way in solving this problem. It says, Zeitnu kol ha'ove al pkudim. Anyone who passes on this pkudim, on this like emplacement, I want to emplace you. Machzit ha'shekel b'shekel ha'kodesh. Half a shekel, shekel HaKodesh. Esrim geira shekel. Machzit HaShekel Truman HaShem. Right? So you count it by giving this machzit HaShekel. So 20, and everyone gives the same. Not an animor, not an ashiles. And Rashi goes into this three trumas. The ones that are done with machzit HaShekel are two. And the third one is the truma of the Mishkan. One was for the Adanim, and one was for the Korbanot. So that's why it says here, Lekaper al nafshoteichem. That's for kapara, that's for the korbanos. So we see the two trumas that Machzit HaShekel is speaking about is the Adanim. That the Adanim are the silver, you know, square things that the crushim, the beams of the Mishkan go into. They hold up the Mishkan. And then there's the korbanos, which come to as a kapara, korban sibul, as a kapara, as an atonement for the Jewish people in their everyday life, the general atonement for the Jewish people as a whole and for the world. So we see by putting a person into his tafkid, by putting him into his proper place, right? Everyone has a purpose. So this concept of Ayin Hara is, we see whenever something is put into a gvul, when something is put into a boundary. When a person's put in this tafkid, you're a lawyer, you're a doctor, you're a this, you're a that. You put a person into a gvul, you put a person into a boundary. This is your tafkid. What, he doesn't have other kochot? He doesn't have other strengths? Anytime you put a boundary on a person, that's called Ayin Hara. Because a person cannot be put into a boundary. The machzit HaShekel, and what when you're counting money? We think if you have $100 in your wallet, that's what you have in your wallet. There's $100 with Ayin Hara, and there's $100 without Ayin Hara. $100 can be used in a lot of ways. It can be spent in a lot of ways. If you put a boundary on that $100, that $100 can be spent on doctor's fees, could be spent on all sorts of different things. The dollars can also be spent on, you buy something very cheap for your wife or something good, right? There's no boundary to the $100 in terms of the bracha, in terms of the source, the ribui, the bracha, the what that $100 could generate. You could buy a lottery and you'd win $1 million with $100. You understand? $100 isn't $100. $100 can buy a lot more than $100. You understand what I'm saying? When you put a boundary on what that $100 you can do, that's called ayin hara. Again, when you count it and say, I have $100, that's putting a boundary. When you don't put a count it, there's a ribui that's associated with $100. And that's a rule in life. As soon as you bound something or you look at a person in a bounded way, you say, he's like this and like this and like this, that's ayin hara. If you can bound anything in a person, in his kochot, that's ayin hara, a person's unbounded. His nechasim, what he has, what he can do with his kochot, whether it's his physical kochot, i.e. what he owns, or his strengths, physical strengths, whether it's his emotional, whether it's his intellectual or spiritual, a person's not bounded. Any time that you associate boundaries with a person, that's called ayin hara, and that's limiting him. The way to count a person is through machzit a shekel, half a shekel. Half a shekel means this is not the whole person that's been counted. This is half of a person. Half of a person means there's another half that's not here, that we left unbounded. You with me? And also, when we all this ayin hara we're talking about is talking about the klal. When we put people into klal Yisrael, into a group, we associate them with their tafkid, with their purpose. We associate them in any way. They're coming together to bring korban sib. They're coming together to bring the foundations of the Mishkan. Each one, as in the individuality, is being lost to the group. Yeah? It's not coming in a bounded way. It's coming in a way that you are part of a group, and without that group, you're not complete. You only become complete when you join the group. How do you join a group? As being a half. You don't join the group as a complete person. You join the group as, I'm half without the group. The group is that which completes me. In other words, this concept of half is a concept of connection to something bigger than you. The concept of half is a concept of, when I'm putting you in your tafkid, don't think that this is you. You are not a lawyer. You are not a doctor. You are beyond the boundaries of what your tafkid is. You are not a rabbi. You are more than what your tafkid is. There's no concept in Judaism that you have a one singular purpose. Your purpose is bigger than the concept of where you're going. You understand what I'm saying? So even when joining a group, even when joining a collective purpose, the korbanos, right, which brings kiyum to the world, the Mishkan, which is a hashrat shechina to the world, the basis of the Mishkan, we're building the Adonim. That means the basis of the whole of humanity comes from this concept that you cannot fully conceive a human being. A human being is always half. There's always, you know roughly where you're going. The other side of you has to be left open. Left open to connect to the whole of the klal, and left open to connect with the whole of yourself. And that's, in jargon we say, you leave the door open to God. You know where you're going, but you know that there's a door open, that God's going to guide you there. If you count, and you think, and you look at life, I know what I'm doing this, I'm doing X, Y, Z, this is my purpose, clear, no other openings, that's called putting a boundary to yourself. That's called ayin hara. You won't succeed in that way, because that's not what you're here for. You're here for a bigger thing. So you'll be pushed aside from that purpose in order to realize that you're bounding yourself and that you have a bigger, more global purpose. Your wife who's coming to complete, we're going to speak about completion, what it means when we speak about the Mishkan, right? But you have three types of wife. You have you, yourself, you, your creator, and you, your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's three aspects of man. So all three aspects of man has to have that completion. And that completion, even with your wife, is not just serving her. Your wife is bigger than you, right? There's not just one purpose you have. Your wife will change, you will change.
Sure, yeah.
Right? A human being is not something which has a gvul. But the connection to two things, the connection to making a basis, a foundation, right? The foundation of the Mishkan represents the world. That connection to the world and making a basis through which the world can have the Hasharat Shechina, that has to come through this idea of having a tafkid with an opening, with an idea that this isn't only your tafkid. Your tafkid is much bigger than what you think it is. And in that sense, you're leaving the door open for your creator. The concept of connecting to a tzibur, that's the korbanos. And the korbanos is fixing the Hasharat Shechina. When we do averas, there's a siluk of Hasharat Shechina, there's a removal of Hasharat Shechina, bring that back to the world. Because fixing ourselves, the concept of tshuva, that's in the korbanos. That also has to come from an idea that you're bigger than the chet you did. People do averas mainly do averas because they don't know who they are. They mainly do averas because they think they're some homo sapien, some animal. They have desires, they go with them. If a person was to really live with the concept of how big he is and how important he is, he would not do averas. We don't live with that concept. The concept of a korban is to come close, come close to Hashem, we'll get to Vayikra, we'll speak more about it. But that concept, when a person lives with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he lives with his soul, when he lives with a higher level, he won't do averas, if he's aware of it. We only do averas because we think we're not important. If you really believed that when you get up in bed in the morning, and you daven shachris, the whole world depends on your actions, you'd be very, very different in your behavior. We don't believe it. We think we're homo sapiens. We don't think we're neshamas. We don't think we're sons of God. We don't realize amma'ala. We don't realize how the spiritual worlds are affected. We think we're a whole shekel. This is what we are. What we have in front of us is who we are. We don't realize there's another half of us. That wife, that soul, which is called your wife, which is much, much bigger than who we are. That we need to connect to it. And that as much as we connect to it, there's still more. There's still another half to connect to. When a person has that idea, then there's no ayin hara. And when there's no ayin hara, there's no chet. A person who lives with that view isn't chote. A person who lives with the view that what I am is who I am now, what I see, what I desire. Me, where I'm living now is who I am. If you live with that and that's who you think you are, of course you're going to be prone to chet. Of course you're going to be, who are you? Nothing. What are you? You're a little ant in this whole world. There's how many billion people? 3 billion people in the world? You're one of those 3 billion people. Ooh, who are you? Little ant over here. 7 billion? Okay. Who are you? But when you realize that there's a whole realm of you, and you live with that, and you live with that concept of ribui, that you can grow and become more and more, and there's ad infinitum, a growth in you that you can't define and that you can't know, and you can't know fully your meaning, and all you can do is be in a process of growth, not knowing where that growth is going to take you, because ultimately spiritual growth isn't through your own endeavor. It's not a function of your endeavor. Ultimately, we're going to learn this soon, it's a matana, it's a present. based on your endeavor, but not a function of it. After we know that concept, we come on to Kiyo. Kiyo, this is the last Kli, right? And it's mentioned here in this parasha. What does Kiyo do? What's the function of the Kiyo? It says, Vasita Kiyo Nechoshet V'kano Nechoshet L'rotza, to like clean yourself. V'natata Oto B'ein Ha'oel Mo'ed Ben Mizbeh V'natata Shama Ma'ar. You put their water. V'rachatsu Aaron U'banav. They washed Aaron and his sons. V'menu Et Yodeim V'et Raglaim. The hands and legs. B'vohem El'oel Mo'ed. When they came to the Oel Mo'ed, V'chatsu Ma'im V'lo Yamutu. They shouldn't die when they serve. Or B'gishtam El'a Mizbeh L'shar L'aktir Yish El'Hashem. When they bring the korbanos. Yeah? What is this rechitza about? Rechitza is always associated with Kedusha. It's the removal of what's bad, the cleansing. How do we clean? So Rashi explains here, it's Yadayim V'Raglayim. You put your hands on your legs and you rochet your hands and your legs together. It's brought down, Rabbeinu B'chai, I think, brings this, that you have 10 hands. And 10, like 10 etzvot, 10 fingers. And you have 10 fingers on your toes, right? 10 toes. So it's explained, 10 is a concept of completion. There's two parts to a person. The upper part, i.e. his mouth, with his 10 fingers. And his lower part, which is his mokum habris, his mokum bris mila, with his 10 toes. I.e. the expression of his lower part comes in his bris, and the expression of his upper part comes in his mouth. Obviously, that expression in the physical world comes with his 10 fingers, and in his lower world comes with his 10 toes. The rechitza of Yadayim V'Raglayim, right, is to be mekadesh. What does it mean to be mekadesh? Kedusha means to uplift them. That's what we're saying. V'tisa et Rosh B'nai Israel. The lifting up of a person is putting him in his tafkid, but the realization that tafkid is much bigger than what it is. Otherwise, it's negative. So, when he goes to serve in the Mishkan, to bring the korbanos, or any concept of serving of the Kohanim, l'sharet, to bring down the Hashrat Shechina, right? There has to be a cleansing of his lower expression and his upper expression. And there has to be a connection of his upper expression with his lower expression. That's why the rechitza is done when his hands are touching his feet. And then we clean it so that expression is an expression without any bad, without any psolet, without any, like, just as it won't have any physical dirt, it represents a cleansing of person. So there's a cleansing of person when he comes to that full expression. That's called Kedusha. Kedusha is when a person expresses his lower and upper self together in a completely pure and proper way. That's what the cure represents. Now, who brought the cure? How was the cure made? With what nadava was this kiyor made? It was a chiddush to Moshe Rabbeinu. The women brought their marot, their mirrors, that they were used in Mitzrayim. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to accept it, because he said, this was used for the Yetzara. This was used for the evil inclinations. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw this as something which came from the evil inclination. The wives used it to bring their husbands to connect with them. So how could this be used for something of Kedusha? And the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, take it, because this built the Jewish people. Through using the desires of their husbands, bringing on the desires of husbands, they brought the Jewish people their fruition. And that's how the Kiyah was based, made, through these marot, which were used for Yetzara. That means, it's a use of your Yetzahara, a use of the physical, to bring something spiritual into the world, to bring the Jewish people into the world. I.e., the concept of transferring the lower part of self and using it for the upper part, using it for an upper purpose. That's the concept of the kiyor. And therefore, the rechitza, kedusha, the cleansing of the lower, of man's expression, is when man's expression has kedusha, has functionality. Has functionality towards a spiritual purpose. That's the cleansing of man's expression. And that's why the kiyor is made with nechoshet. Nachash nechoshet. Nechoshet associated with the nachash. The yetzahara. That even the nachash, the shorish of cleansing of the yetzahara, is not to nullify it. It's to transfer its purpose from a physical to uplift the raglayim to this level of the hands, to the level of man's higher expression, his pair, his higher expression. You with me? That's what the kiyor is there. So now that man has a tafkid, we're now told that that tafkid has to be to higher spiritual expression. That's the kiyor. And that's the cleansing of man. Man's cleansing isn't to clean him from the ra, to remove him from the ra. Man's cleansing is to use the ra for a purpose, a proper purpose, for a spiritual purpose. There's no negation of the ra. Ra is not negated. Ra is used for a higher spiritual purpose. That's the cure. That's why it was made with those mirrors. Because that's what the Jewish people, that's what the women did. They took man's physical desire and they used it Bimamid Klal Yisrael, to bring Klal Yisrael out in Egypt. So it says, Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. Next is, Ata kach lecha besamim rosh, modro, these are different forms of besamim, right, this is Shemin HaMishcha, 500 kinuman bosim machzito, 50 u'matayim, kane bosim 50 u'matayim. Okay, and there's the whole parasha about how you make this besamim rosh, right? And this is, look at Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Kaftes. V'kidashto otam. You should sanctify them with this besamim rosh, with this shemen ha-mishcha, this anointing oil. V'yikodesh kodoshim. Kol ha-nogeh behem yikdash. Right? You spread it on them, on the kelim, right? And all the kelim, before it said you put to put them into their purpose, right? This is chinuch. Hakelim vahakahanim. There's putting the kelim. Now a kli, for example, when you bring a korban, say you have to collect the blood of the korban in a vessel. That vessel is no good for collecting the blood unless you sanctify it with this anointing oil. So too, Aaron Ubanav are not prepared for serving until they're anointed with this anointing oil. What does that do with the kelim? It makes it into a kli sharet, a vessel of servitude to God. It makes the kohen into a kohen. Kohen means sharet, to serve God. That's what the word kohen means. So we see that there has to be putting of oil, a nice smelling oil, on the kohen and on the kelim in order for them to be put into their tafkid. So we haven't yet finished. And only then there's a kedusha of Kli Sharet, or the Kedusha of Aaron HaKohen Ubanav, the Kedusha Kuna. So what's this anointing? Why is it smelling? And also, the Gemara asks, the Megillah, just it asks, Haman Mina Torah Minayin, it says Hamina Eitz, he represents the Ra in the world. It says Mordechai Mina Torah Minayin, so it brings our Pasuk here. It says, Mordro, if you look at the Targum, it says Mordachia. Mordachia, Mira Dachia, says the Gemara, that's Mordechai. So Mordechai represents the chinuch that's associated, one of the besamim that's associated with chinuch of this anointing oil. What's Mordechai to do with all of this? The Gemara says, Tov, right? Shem Tov. Bufa Pilki Abba says, Tov Shemin Tov, Tov Shem Tov Mishemin Tov, Yom Amabet Yom Hilvaldo. Right? That's the Pilki Abba says. So we see the concept of shemen, right, anoint of oil of nice smell is a concept of shem tov. Shem tov, a good name, is associated with smell. Why? Smell means when something is giving off something which is pleasant to other people to be around him. Not just seeing him, he gives off a presence. Says the Gemara, smell is the only thing where the neshama benefits from. Why smell? Because our other expressions, our hearing, our eyes, right? All those things were involved in the Cheder Adam Rishon. Smell was not involved. Smell still remains without Chet. That's associated with the neshama. That's why our chius comes from our smell, because that's the only place which was our life comes from our smell. That's the only place that wasn't sholet mavis, didn't have the sin of the Cheder Adam Rishon. So smell is associated with a hana, a benefit of the neshama. So when a person has a good smell, right, it means he's spiritual. And that's a shem tov, that's a good name. So how does a person get a good name? That's what's here. That's Mordechai, Mordachia, right? He's associated with the Shemin HaMishcha. Good name is when a person is put into his place, into his tafkid, and he fulfills that tafkid in a proper way with a good smell. I.e., smell is something which goes out of a person, which doesn't bound a person. When a person has a tafkid, he does what he's supposed to do. He doesn't have a good smell. When a person's put in a tafkid, he does more than what he's supposed to do. There's a ribui of self. There's a going out of self. When there's a going out of self, that's called Shemin Tov. That's when a person radiates his smell. You can only have Shemin Tov when you don't put yourself in those boundaries. When you go into a tafkid and go beyond the boundaries of that tafkid, of that position. You with me? So any job in life, anything in life, man has to go beyond the boundaries of where he is. That's Shemin Tov. Now, what's that associated with Mordechai? Mordechai went beyond boundaries. He gave up his wife for Klal Yisrael. He gave up himself for Klal Yisrael. He was misaken himself. He put himself in front of Haman. Velo zah, velo mishtachaveh. He didn't bow down to him. Klal Yisrael sinned, says the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Mordechai fixed that sin, and he was makriv his life for that. About nashim nochriot, says the Gemara, says Chazal, it's a midrash, that nashim nochriot, they were nitma. Sudas Achashverosh wasn't just a suda. They were nitma b'in a goyim. They connected in an improper way to the goyim. Mm-hmm. That's why they were sentenced, Chas v'sharam, Sonem to Israel, to death. Because they removed from themselves the concept of Klal Yisrael. Mordechai gave his wife. He nullified that whole aspect of self for the sake of Klal Yisrael. The concept of a man nullifying himself for the rotzen of the klal, for the purpose of the klal, for Kodesh Baruch Hu, is man going beyond his boundaries. That's a complete going beyond his boundaries. Risking his life, giving up his wife for the sake of Klal Yisrael. He told Esther to go in front of Achashverosh. Kasha avati avati. And he was lost to be his wife anymore. And he told her to do that. That's Mordro. That's the concept of the Besomim. When a man goes beyond his boundaries, man has more kochot than he understands. He's not physical. When man can nullify his physical needs for the sake of the klal, ad kadei kach, he can nullify himself. Like Moshe Rabbeinu, mecheni na misifrecha, mochik mi, from your sefer. from the Torah. I'm here as a servant of the Jewish people. My whole tafkid is to give all that I have, including me, including all aspects of me, to Jewish people. That's the concept of Shemana Mishcha. That's the concept when a kli is put to kli sharet, to be a kli, that serving God, it means its whole purpose is only a complete nullification to the servitude of its creator. And that's why the Kohanim have to have with the Shemana Mishcha, and all the Kalim, the Mishkan, can only be Kalim when they have the Shemana Mishcha, because then they become nullified to this complete purpose of serving God. Now, we're speaking about who builds the Mishkan, right? So it says, Re'eh Karati B'Shem. So it says, Re'eh, see, Karati, I call. So there's a seeing and a calling. When do we have seeing and calling come together? Har Sinai, Ro'eh Takolot. The Mishkan represents the Shashrat Shechina of Har Sinai has to have when seeing and calling comes together. B'Shem, in the purpose of Bezalel, Bezel Kel, he's the shadow of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He represents the Tzel of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We can't see the Divine Presence in the world. The Divine Presence is too high for us to see. It's too intense for us to see. But we can be in the Tzel of Kel. The Tzel, the shadow of the Divine Presence. So the person who's going to build that Tzel, that Mishkan, in which we can see the, so to speak, the shadow, the forms of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, is going to be called the name of Bezal Kel, in the Tzel of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ben Uri, the son of Uri. Uri represents life. Ben Hu, Lamate Yud. Hu, right? He was the person who, Pasuk Vavit says, Ani hine netati oto et Oliav, Ben Achisamach, Lamate Dan. Belev kochom lev, netati chochom asu, et kol asher tziviti. So we go from Yehuda, the Rosh of the Shvatim, Malchus, to Dan, the low of the Shvatim, that's the end. Yudah was the beginning. Dan was the end. From the beginning to the end, all aspects, from the high level of the Shvatim to the low level of the Shvatim, comes to build the Mishkan. Okay? And Hu, we said, the concept of Hu is the one who fought against the Cheder Egel. I was mysterious and efficient until he gave his life up for the Cheder Egel. Right? He fought against. Because the Mishkan that we're going to see has to be built with mysterious nefesh. So the people who build the Mishkan have to rebuild the heads to the lowest aspect. And they have to represent in them this concept of Bezalel. And there's a name we're going to learn about Bezalel later on, that he understood deeply how to build a Mishkan. That's a different parasha. We're going to learn who's Bezalel Kel. So Gemara and Brachos, we're not going to do that yet. I'm going to explain that more when we do a different parasha. Kel is a name of Chesed. Bezel Kel means the building of the Mishkan is the building of the Hashrat Shechina, the building of Kodesh Baruch Hu, bringing in His goodness into the world. So that has to be the Tzel Kel, has to be the Mokum of Hashrat Shechina, has to be the Mokum of God's goodness coming into the world. After we're told about how we build the Mishkan, then we have the Parasha of Shabbos. Of course, what is Shabbos? The Mishkan is the place of Hashrat Shechina, the Divine Presence in Min Mokum, in place. Shabbos is the place of Hashrat Shechina, of the Divine Presence in time. So that's why Shabbos has to go with the building of the Mishkan. That's why on Shabbos you don't build the Mishkan. Shabbos you don't build the Mishkan. Why? Because Shabbos does what the Mishkan does. Shabbos brings Hashrat Shechina into the world because of the day itself. So you don't need the building of the Mishkan on Shabbos. That's why the melachos of building the Mishkan is stopped on Shabbos. That's where we learn the melachos of Shabbos from. Shabbos represents in time what the Mishkan represents in place. The Mishkan we don't have. The only thing we have that can replace the Mishkan, says the Gemara in Brachos, Ein la Kodesh Baruch Hu ba'olamo. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't have any place for Hashrat Shechina in this world, except Ella, Arba Amos Shel Halacha, 4 Amos of Halacha. That's Torah. The Hashrat Shechina that we can get, which the Ramban says that Hashrat Shechina is the Hashrat Shechina, the Divine Presence, which is on Har Sinai, which represents Torah. That's why it's Bein Akruvim Al Aaron. because that's the place of Torah, because that's what Hasharat Shekhinah means, that can only be found in Torah. Shabbos, when was the Torah given? Vayechulu. Yom HaShishi. The sixth day. What's the sixth day? Shavuos. Shavuos, because the first Matan Torah is on Shabbos. Shabbos is the time of Matan Torah. The Hashrat Shekhinah we get on Shabbos, the Neshama Yeteir we get on Shabbos, is connected Naaseh V'Nishma. It's connected the Ketarim, the crowns that we got when we received the Torah. Shabbos is the day of receiving Torah. Shabbos is the time when we get that Neshama Yeteir. If we prepare, if there's a Hachana, if there's a preparation on the 6 days, then Shabbos is the day of Matan Torah. Shabbos is the day of Hashrat Shekhinah. That's why Shabbos, you don't need Mishkan. Because you have Torah. It represents the time and the Hashrat Shekhinah, or Olam Haba. Olam Haba, it's Me'ein Olam Haba. Olam Haba is Torah, it's the concept of Hashrat Shekhinah of Torah. Tzadikim Yoshvim V'atorotayim, the crowns on their head, V'neini Miziv Hashekhinah, that's Naaseh V'Nishma. That's the concept of Shabbos. That's why Shabbos, and V'itangu, V'neini Miziv Hashekhinah, there's an onig from the Ziv Hashekhinah, from the radiance of the Divine Presence. Right? That's why Shabbos is a day of onig. Shabbos is a day of pleasure. That means we remove from us any lacks of physical pleasure because there's a complete spiritual hana on Shabbos. So just as there has to be, since we're in the physical world, has to be a complete spiritual hana, there has to be a complete physical hana with that spiritual hana. That's why we say, since we're in the physical world, you don't fast on Shabbos. Why? Because you have a neshama yateira tomorrow in town, it's Rashi. Because you have that extra soul, you're hungry, you can't fast on the Tanis. You can't fast on Shabbos. The connection between Matan Torah and Shabbos, the Pasuk says, right? We see in Brachos, Yom HaShishi, the sixth day. So it's a Rashi asks, what is it? Vayechulu HaShemai V'Aretz, the finishing of the heavens and the earth, right? And God rested on Shabbos, right? Yom HaShishi. So Rashi says, why did it say Yom HaShishi, the sixth day? Because the whole world is waiting for its completion. Vayechulu, the completion of the world, incurs when the Jewish people receive Torah on that sixth day of Sivan. Only then the world comes to its completion, when the world is given Torah. That was given on Shabbos. Because Shabbos is the time for, it's Me'ein Olam Haba, it's the concept of the world to come. The concept of the world to come is the concept of Torah. When it says, the Rambam says, that what is like a tziu, a form for us to understand what is the world to come? So it says, Tzadikim Yoshvim, Tzadikim are sitting down, V'atara Teim HaRoshem, and the crowns on their heads, V'nenim, and they benefit Miziv HaShekhinah. That's the concept of the Naaseh V'Nishma. Those crowns represent the crowns when the Jewish people got when they received the Torah. Because those crowns represent a certain level of connection with your Creator. And that level of connection is the level of connection that we'll have only in Olam Haba. We have Me'ein Olam Haba. We have a taste of that Olam Haba every Shabbos. But it depends, that taste that we get on Shabbos depends if we're making for Shabbos, if we prepare for Shabbos. The Mishnah about the Melachos of Shabbos has what's called 10 levels or 10 Melachos that we do to make bread. Right? You know 10 represents completion. But it means taking the wheat and making that wheat from harvesting, etc., from sowing, harvesting, plowing, etc., to doing Bore, Tochen, Lisha, all the Melachas. There's 10 Melachas till we come to making bread. Before the Chet of Adam HaRishon, the world was cool of Shabbos. Bread was on the tree, he plucked it and ate it. The world was prepared. It was a world of Oneg, a world of benefit, of Neni Miziv Hashchina. He needed to complete the world by eating the Eitz Hadas on Shabbos and not eating it on the weekday, which he didn't do. I'm going to see that the whole Chet of Adam HaRishon was in what? In not waiting. When we're going to learn about the Chet HaEgel, we're going to see that Chet is also about not waiting. All Chet All sin, therefore, is about impulsivity. Impulsiveness of man is the inability to man to see tomorrow and just want today's benefit. If man lives with the concept of Hayom Lasotam, today to do proper action, Ulumacha Lekaboscha, and tomorrow he'll get his reward, then man fixes the Chet of Adam Rishon. If man lives with Hayom Lasotam and Hayom Lekaboscha, then man, instant gratitude is Chet. Delayed gratitude is the fixing of man's Chet. That's the shorish of the Chet. That's why we see by Chet Egel, keep Bashash Moshe. We're going to learn about it. Moshe didn't came. Now, just generally, I'll say the word Bashash comes from the word of Shesh, right? Shesh. That means man sinned Bashishi on the sixth day. That impulsivity of man to eat from the Eitz Das on the sixth day and not to wait for Shabbos is the same Chet as Klal Yisrael with the Chet HaEgel, that they didn't wait for the next day for Moshe Rabbeinu to come back. That was the same Shorash HaChet. So the concept of the Chet HaEgel, we said, was that they didn't wait for Moshe. Ki Bashash Moshe. Moshe waited. We explained how that Bashash is associated with the Shesh, the same Chet of Adam HaRishon, who didn't wait for the seventh day to eat from the Eitz HaDas. That's the Shorash of man's Chet. Why is that Avodah Zarah? Why does that bring Avodah Zarah? Avodah Zarah, very simply, we saw in the Ramban when we learned it, Avodah Zarah is when man takes the kochot in the world and uses those kochot, connects to them, it's real, for man's own personal endeavor. What's wrong with that? Very simple. It's man taking for his own personal endeavor. Serving Hashem is a nullification of self. Serving Avodah Zarah is using the kochot in the world for your own personal endeavor. We don't come to yeshiva to learn how to be better people in order to be big businessmen and make money for ourselves. We come to yeshiva to learn how to be good people to give to the world of our kochot. Not to gain on the world, not to utilize the world for our own benefit, rather to use our kochot, our strength, to serve the world, to give to the world, to serve Hashem. That's a very big difference. You could use the same do-it-yourself help book for two different purposes. For learning how to be the CEO of a company, or for learning to be a better human being. But the best help book is the Torah itself. Because the Torah designed man. And it knows the details and the shorash of all man's kochot. Now, the serving of this Avodah Zarah, is we need an intermediary. But the need, when you need an intermediary, you're thinking about yourself. And we need something to bring down God's Shefa into the world for our benefit. When man lives with his impulsivity, man lives with his needs, he wants them now, man's thinking about himself. When man can wait for lemachar, like I said before, hayom la'asotam, tomorrow to receive the schar, tomorrow to receive that connection with your Creator. The connection will be now, but the full connection will come tomorrow. When man has the ability to see tomorrow, to see the bigger picture, then man is serving his Creator. Man is connecting to the real world, the spiritual world. That's the concept of Avodah Zarah. When man sees his now, man sees a desire, man wants to eat the world, wants to consume the world. When man wants to give to the world, then man becomes an Eved Hashem. That requires a waiting, a patience of tomorrow.
Sounds like.
So, because of the Chet HaEgel, there was a breaking of the Luchot. That's the concept of Ayin Hara. The Shorish of Ayin Hara When you see boundaries, you see self. When man sees himself with boundaries, that's ayin hara, because he only sees the homo sapien in man. He only sees his immediate needs. If you see yourself as me, what do I need? I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to eat this, I need to sleep, I need to do this. Your needs. When man sees him as a bounded person, and not the ribui that can come out of man, not the bracha that can come out of man, he sees man as bounded. Man sees only himself. He doesn't see his outer and bigger self, which you can be mitrabeh in man, and to use that to give to the world. That's the concept of ayin hara. When we see the luchot, and the luchot were given in Farhesia, and you think these luchot are two tabernacles with written on them, and everyone sees them, and that's bounded. That's ayin hara. The luchot are not something which are bound. From the luchot come the whole of the shefa of the Torah. Within the Ten Commandments comes all the tariyag, all the 630. From the 630 comes all the shefa to the world. The two luchot, ben Aron Chaver, ben man and God, ben man and man. And the bringing of the luchot to, from Moshe to the Jewish people, is man to man. Or man, Moshe learning the Torah is man in himself. The understanding of the luchot. If man, and we have a minhag, that the luchot, when we put the luchot on, we put it as a heart shape. They weren't square, like modern people make the luchot square. No, we put it as a heart, because they represent the lev of the Jewish people. A lev is nothing without bound. The heart, the giving of that lev, is something without boundary. If you put a boundary on the luchot, we only have 10 commandments. This is all we have to do. There's a limit in where we have to keep. There's not tariq mitzvahs. Every word in the Torah is a mitzvah. It's just a shoresh. If you look at the Torah as a shoresh, as a guidebook to where man has to express, rather this, I have to do this. What's your attitude to Torah? Oh, I have to keep Shabbos. I have to do this. You eat chayim, you do this. You have a warm meal. That's it. Gvul. That's chet ha'egel. That's shir saluchot. If you understand Torah as a shoresh, a source of learning, which goes out into the world, which man expresses himself through it, and which has no boundaries, and each person has his own Torah, and his own expression to express all the 10, all the tariyag, all the 613, all, every single word in the Torah, that's nirmas the whole life of a person here. Because a person's life is written in the Torah means when a person expresses all of these words in his own way, his whole life is written here. And that's boundless. That's Luchot Rishonot. How did we now fix the concept of Klalus of seeing the boundless of the Teresh Bichtav? It was Luchot Shniot. Luchot Shniot, Luchot Rishonot, the first Luchot, were made by God, written by God. The second Luchot were made by man, Moshe Rabbeinu, Psal Lecha. He made the second Luchot, and it was written by God. A man's involvement, man being the klaf, the boundary on which God's words written on him, on his heart. What does that mean? That means that man's involvement to see the ktav is something bounded. It's something you see written words on something which is blank, it's bounded. If there's no blank, you can't read the words. You can't write black on black. Black has to be written on white, has to have a boundary, has to have something to be written on it. It's bounded and then it becomes a word. But the white represents what's beyond the word. The diuk, the understanding, the beyond the what the word says. That's called man. That's called Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh is that which takes the word, the finite word, and makes it unbounded. That's removing the ayin hara from the luchot. Now man's involvement with the Torah, to take the bounded word, the Torah Shebichtav, and unbound it, is causing the Torah to have that ribui, that no longer has that ayin hara. Now man's expression, an individual expression in the Torah, is what unbounds the Torah, and that's the fixing of the Luchot Shniot, of the Luchot Rishonot. And that's the same concept of man giving, because when man takes the Torah, and involves in it, and learns it, and deeply understands it in an unbounded way, and brings out his own personal chiddush from the Torah of how to live and how to be, we're unbounding the Torah. There's no ayin hara, there's no gvul to the Torah. The Torah becomes man's unbounded, abundancy being expressed in the world. And that's the tachlis of the world.